Good morning. My name's Ben. It is so good that we can be here. There's a lot of people here. Wow, what a taste of next week when we get our big day in and we get together together. This past couple of weeks, I've just been learning at college and just being reminded about how good God's Word is and how God speaks through His Word. It's only by His Holy Spirit that we're going to change. And so I'm just going to pray now that God will be speaking through me clearly and just to be preparing our hearts as well. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we start. Almighty Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit who works to convict each one of us of our sin, to convict each one of us of our need for You and to cling to Jesus' sacrifice. Just pray that this morning You will be speaking to each and every one of us through Your Spirit. Please use me as a weak vessel just to be able to convey what Your Word is saying to us today. Hey, Lord, please be working here now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many people who we might call the GOAT, the greatest of all time, whether it be Usain Bolt, the GOAT of sprinting, the greatest of all time. Or it might be the Beatles. Some people have said they are the GOAT of music for the past century. Their music has shaped so much of the music that we listen to today and what radio sounds like and all of that. The greatest of all time. Or perhaps when it comes to basketball, people like Michael Jordan, or maybe some people these days might say Stephen Curry, the greatest of all time, the GOAT. Everyone wants to be considered the greatest, be the best. In our passage today, Jesus is saying that being a GOAT, it's actually the last thing you want to be, isn't it? It's not glory. It's eternal punishment. That's what the GOAT gets. Just to set the scene on where we are in Matthew. So the past couple of weeks, Jesus has been talking to His disciples on the Mount of Olives. Outside of Jerusalem, He's been sitting up there, and His disciples have come to Jesus, and they've said, Jesus, tell us what it's going to be like when You come back in Your glory. When's it going to happen? And Jesus starts off by telling them, well, you can't know when I'm going to come back. No one knows the day or the hour. And then so last week, we were looking at, well, so what do we do now while we wait? If we don't know when Jesus is going to come back, what do we do now? And so we looked at the fact that we need to be faithful, hardworking slaves. We need to be maximizing our master's assets, what God has given us. Are we maximizing that for His kingdom? And we've got to be prepared to do that for a long time. That was last week. And so this week, Jesus, He goes on to talk about, well, what are the consequences, the eternal consequences of our actions now? And particularly, He's going to narrow in on how we treat a particular group of people. We're going to see that today in our passage. But the first thing that we see in our passage is that when Jesus returns, everybody is going to face the same judgment. Everybody is going to face the same judgment. Who's going to be there? There's going to be all the nations throughout all of history. From ancient Egypt to modern America, from Australia to Afghanistan, from Rwanda to Russia, from Mexico to the Maldives, all the nations are going to be gathered there on that final day. No one's exempt. Everyone will be there. Recently, as a family, we went to go see my parents, and they are in New Zealand. So we had to go through Sydney Airport, and you know, you got the security scanners there as you go through at Sydney Airport. No one's exempt, are they? Everyone has to go through. Even little baby Jacob, not even 1 year old, just about to fall asleep. And then we hit security. Oh, we've got to take him out, take the carrier off. Poor little guy. But he did end up sleeping very well on the plane as a result, which we were very thankful for. But nobody's exempt when it comes to judgment on that final day. From the passage that we just had read, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. That's page 807 in your Bibles, just in front of you. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So all nations are going to be there. That's the first thing we notice. Secondly, notice the order that things happen in. This is not a trial that's happening here. This is a judgment. Jesus comes, nations gathered, and he separates. All the speeches, it then happens after the fact. All the nations, this is the judgment. And then thirdly, notice what criteria Jesus is making that judgment on. What's the criteria? It's feeding people. It's clothing people. It's caring for people. It's visiting people in prison. The criteria is how we love a particular group of people. And we're going to get to who in a second. How we love a particular group of people. Friends, the reality is that one day when Jesus Christ comes back, all are going to be brought before him. All are going to face judgment. Our lives will be evaluated, not just what we've believed, but how we've lived our lives. There's two ways to tell what you believe. There's what your mouth says, and there's what your life says. And one of them never lies. One of them never lies. And so the question is, who are these people that Jesus is talking about here? And why does how we treat them determine everything? Who are these people, and why does it matter how we treat them? Well, what we see is that the answer shocks both the sheep and the goats. It shocks everyone. And what we see is that how we treat Jesus's people, it reveals whether we truly love him. How we treat Jesus's people reveals whether we truly love him. I'm just going to pick up from verse 34, page 807. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, a kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." The righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So the sheep are shocked and the goats are equally as shocked, except they haven't done anything. But it reminds me of the TV show Undercover Boss. If you haven't seen it, it's where the CEO of a company, he takes off the suit and he puts on the worker's overalls and he hits the production line, or he goes into the fast food behind the scenes and he works there in a disguise often for a week, just pretending to be a new everyday employee. Then there's the moment where he takes the disguise off and all the employees are shocked. "What? The boss has been standing next to me for this entire week." And if you're a bad employee, you're pretty worried at that point. If you're a good employee, you might still be pretty worried as well. What have I been doing? It's like that here. The sheep and the goats, the good and the bad, are both shocked. Both of them asked, when did we see you, Jesus? When did we see you? No, it's not a question about what side they've been placed on, but it's about what they had done to Jesus. Neither the sheep or the goats understood this connection that Jesus is making. And to help us understand that, in verse 40, I think it's helpful for us to figure out who are the least of these brothers and sisters? Who are these, the least of these? Is it all people? Or is it Christians? Is it all people or is it just Christians? And when we're not sure about how to figure out some things like this that might be a little obscure, it's helpful just to go back through, say, we're in Matthew's gospel. Go back through Matthew's gospel. Has Jesus used this sort of language of, you know, brothers and sisters? How has he used that before in maybe areas that are a bit more clear? And what we see, apart from the few times he's talking about, obviously, his immediate family, he's talking about his disciples, his followers. One great example is in Matthew 12. Just a little earlier on, Jesus replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does my Father's will. We look at this passage and many of the others, and we see that this is talking, the brothers and sisters, it's talking about Christians, talking about followers of Christ. You might say, does that mean we don't help out people who aren't Christians? No, not at all. There's other parts of Scripture which talk about that, Galatians 6. But here, let's just be clear, this is talking specifically about our treatment of fellow believers. That's what this passage here is talking about. But why Christians? Why does Jesus care so much about how we've treated fellow Christians, especially the least of these fellow Christians? Why does he care? Friends, I think it's because he's making this connection between him and his people. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John, he says to them, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Just like before, Kathy was reading from 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the body and how there's lots of gifts. Friends, this is Jesus saying, I care so much about how you treat your Christian brothers and sisters. It's as if you're doing that to me. If you serve others, then you are serving Jesus. Think of Saul on the road to Damascus. He encounters Jesus in Acts 9. What does Jesus say to Saul? He says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Doesn't he? Those persecutions that Saul was carrying out against the followers of Jesus, Jesus saw as a persecution against him. Friends, in the same way, anything that we do for our Christian brothers and sisters, Jesus sees us as doing that for him. Because it's his body. We are the body of Christ. And that's the criteria that Jesus uses here for this judgment. As the sheep and the goats are sorted, that is the criteria. How have you treated the least of these brothers and sisters? Some of you might be thinking, like I was earlier in the week, that sounds an awful lot like we have to do something to get to heaven, doesn't it? I have to do these things in order to be a sheep. Friends, I don't think that's the case. And let me explain why. Also earlier in Matthew, we heard our first Bible reading, Jesus say this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons in your name? Do many mighty works in your name?'" What does he say to them? "Go away." Friends, we could be tempted to think that, and so often, that by doing things, by being obedient, that means that we are right before God. We have to remember that's not the case. Instead, because we are right before God, because we have been forgiven, we can live this transformed life of obedience. As Ephesians says, to do the good works that have been prepared for us to do. Like loving our Christian brothers and sisters. So just to recap, who are the least of these brothers and sisters? Who is Jesus concerned about how we treat? It is our Christian brothers and sisters. And so, why are the sheep and the goat surprised? Why are the sheep and the goat surprised? Well, I think the sheep are surprised because they haven't realized this connection that Jesus is making. And Jesus tells us this parable so that we know how much he cares about his people and how we treat his followers. Jesus deeply cares about each and every one of his sheep. He deeply, deeply cares. And so I can imagine that Jesus will say to us, he's like, remember that time when 32 years ago, you gave a sister a bed who was having a rough time and needed somewhere to stay? Yeah, you did that for me. Remember that time when you gave someone a phone call, you'd been talking after church, and you just wanted to check in and see how they were doing? Sent them a message, gave them a phone call. Yeah, you gave me a call. You looked after me then. Or remember that time when you poured out countless hours, you dropped everything, helped the friend or the family who had just had this big life crisis come up, they needed to move house ASAP, they needed their kids looked after. You did that for me. You did that for me. I was watching you. You did that for me. So the sheep are surprised because they don't get this connection with the body of Christ and Jesus. And the goats are surprised because they thought they knew Jesus. Friends, I think Jesus is saying here that there are goats among us today. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we say that we were Christians? Didn't I go to church every Sunday? Friends, Jesus is saying, well, no, you ignored my people. You ignored the people who were here. You were self-centered. You couldn't look outside yourself. It's really, really sad. The evidence revealed for the goats that they never truly loved Jesus. Friends, how we treat Jesus' people shows if our faith is genuine. That's what we get from this passage. How we treat Jesus' people proves if our faith is genuine or not. So both these groups, they're shocked because they didn't realize this tight connection between Jesus and his people. And they're judged for how they treated Jesus' people. And the consequences aren't just serious, they last forever. The consequences are eternal. The consequences are eternal. To those on his right, to his sheep, Jesus says, come on in. Come and take. Come and take what has been prepared for you since the beginning of time. Come and join in the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Come join in the celebrations. Come on in. You have been waiting so long. You who have been faithfully using what I have given you. Well done, good and faithful servant. And to the goats on his left, depart. Verse 41. Go away. Go away. Go away into the eternal fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Go away, you wicked, lazy, worthless, self-centered slave. Into the outer darkness, into the permanent, eternal punishment. Friends, how we treat Jesus' people shows whether or not our faith is genuine. something that's really been challenging me this week as I've been working on this passage and have been pulling it apart. I pray that the Spirit is working in each of us to convict us of this need as well. Because, friends, the consequences of being fake are forever. They're eternal. The choices that we make now have consequences for eternity. This is pretty daunting news. This is really daunting. Until we remember that Jesus, he's telling this story 2 days before he goes to be crucified. It's 2 days before, as he's sitting on the Mount of Olives, 2 days before he's taken away and he's killed. Because the truth is that by our nature, our hearts just make us all like goats, don't they? We all just want to be really selfish. We all just want to care about our own needs and not about anyone else's. But friends, 2 days after Jesus tells this story, Jesus, the King and the Judge, he goes to the cross to take the punishment that the goats deserve so that we can become one of his flock, so that we can be one of his sheep, so that he could say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Romans chapter 3 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." How? By faith. By faith. So friends, I think this leaves us asking the question, and it's something that only you can answer for yourself. Which one are you? Sheep? Or a goat? Second question, which one do you want to be? Now is the day of salvation. Jesus has not come back yet. We can still change. Which one do you want to be? If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have him change your life from the inside out so that you can do good works that have been prepared for you to do, friends, it is so simple. It is coming before God in humility and just saying, "God, I've got nothing. I'm a sinner. I'm self-centered. I'm sorry for rejecting you. I want to trust in you. Please forgive me." That's all it is. And you can live a life of freedom as one of his sheep. If that's something that you would like to pray, I'd love to pray that with you after the service. Mark would love to do that. You can come and chat with me afterwards. Not too late. So whether you've become a Christian today or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or longer, what does the sheep's life actually look like now as we wait for Jesus' return? Where to start? How do we love Jesus' people? How do we love Jesus by loving his people? Remember, let us live so lives that are just so transformed by the gospel that we just want to intentionally care about our Christian brothers and sisters. Remember, we're not saved by doing these things. Critical to get that right. We are, but because we have been made right before God, because we are one of his sheep, friends, we are able with all of our heart just to be able to pour out to our Christian brothers and sisters around us who need help so we can care for them. We don't just walk past opportunities. So I pray that this time it's just to open up our eyes a little bit to the need that is out there. To the need that is out there. How can we support the least of these Christian brothers and sisters? In preparation this week, I ended up on the Open Doors website, which is like Voice of the Martyrs, in that both of these groups, they look at the persecuted church and try and support the persecuted church all around the world. And they have this map which kind of shows where the areas of persecution are. Friends, where are we? We're all the way down here, hidden away from all the persecution that's happening in the world. There are so many countries and Christian brothers and sisters where they suffer for the gospel, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Over 388 million Christians now face high to extreme levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. One in seven Christians around the world. I just imagine, what if all the people, the Christians living here, the Christians living in Europe, the Christians living in America, the Christians in all the white areas, what if they were pouring out and supporting all the Christians who were being persecuted for their faith? That'd send a powerful message, wouldn't it, friends? That would change so many lives. Friends, how can we be loving our Christian brothers and sisters and serving the least of these, specifically the persecuted church? It's something that the Spirit's been convicting me this week. I've been jumping on board to partner and support and that sort of stuff. I pray that this might be something that you look at as well, something that you look at doing. Open Doors, great website to start on. And secondly, for struggling believers, first off, here at home, here at church, sitting around us, our Christian brothers and sisters who need help, who need help being driven around, who need help being visited, and people at either end of life, people who have sick family members. Are we preparing their meals? Are we calling in to check how they're going? It takes time, it takes effort. But friends, this is what we are called to do as the body of Christ. As we seek to love our Christian brothers and sisters. And then around the world as well, similar with the persecuted church, there are so many believers around the world who are way less fortunate than us here, living in Sydney, Australia. Friends, we have so much to be thankful for. Compassion is one of the organizations which partners with local churches to try and reach out and show God's love in communities around the world and bring people to Christ. This lady, she had her testimony where she said, my husband and I were both once sponsored children with Compassion. We both came from poverty, and Compassion was one of the ways that God reached into our lives and rewrote our stories. Through that support, we didn't just get our needs met, but we were known, encouraged, and prayed for. We were reminded that our story wasn't over. How we treat our Christian brothers and sisters shows if our faith is genuine. Meanwhile, people are striving to be the greatest of all time, striving to be the best, striving to stand out. Friends, I hope you've seen today that being the greatest of all time, being the GOAT, that's not something that you want to be on the final day. So friends, because our lives have been so transformed by the gospel, and we know that Jesus is watching our actions as we go out and care.